Guys, sit down. Relax. I would suggest, though, before you get too comfortable, I really want you to see the slides, but you're going to have to come forward. And I always feel bad when I'm sitting there and somebody says, come forward. But if you can't see the slides, you're going to miss half of it. So do yourselves a favor. And if you choose not to, and then you decide, oh, yeah, I guess I better move forward, it's okay. You can come down later, too. It's all right. Pastor Bill asked me to, well, Pastor Mark asked me to teach tonight, and Pastor Bill asked me to do the specific topic. By way of introduction, this can kind of be a real heavy, scary kind of message, and I don't intend it to be. I don't want it to be that way for you. There's going to be a lot of information that things you may not be familiar with, you've never heard. So afterwards, if you've got questions, or you'd like the set of the slides, or you would like other sources, feel free to come up and ask me. I'll be happy to email them to you. By way of introduction, my name is Mike. I was a pastor for over 15 years. I was a senior chaplain for a police department here in Orange for another six. I've worked at a mortuary, so if any of you nod off, I'm going to tell you mortuary stories. So I will be watching. First time I ever preached in a church, a lady we thought died, and they're all looking at me, well, you work at the mortuary, you go take care of her. I can't take care of her, I got to go preach. And it was pretty funny. She had actually fallen asleep during worship, and her chest wasn't moving. It didn't look like she was alive, and everybody was thinking, what are we going to do? And then somebody finally went over to feel her pulse, and she woke up. But anyway, so I'll be watching you guys. Let's go before the Lord, pray, and then we'll get right into it. Father, I ask you just to take all the burdens, everything that's going through our minds right now, and let us lay them aside. We concentrate on you. We concentrate on your word. We concentrate on the things in our lives that may need to change with the rapid possibility of your return becoming more and more imminent. Father, just ask a blessing for these people that come out on a Wednesday night when they could be home watching TV. In Jesus' name, amen. There's that feedback. The first thing I want to talk about, I'm only going to cover two topics. I originally had three. It's going to take too long, so we're only going to concentrate on two. The first one, you guys have all heard this verse. It's Revelation 13. If I talk about a text, it'll be up there on the screen. You're welcome to read it in your own Bibles as well. It's Revelation 13, 16, and it's where it's talking about the Antichrist, and it says that he also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or their foreheads so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark. Now, we've all heard that. If you've been in a Calvary church for any length of time, you've heard that in discussions of end time stuff. But that verse has always fascinated me, because how is that possible for the entire world? How is that going to come about? And we're going to be gone. One guy came up to me on Sunday and said, you mean we're going to be here for that? I said, no. We're going to be gone, but the groundwork has to be laid for this in order for the Antichrist to come in and be able to do it on a global scale. And you're going to see that in the last 3 years, the way this is going to happen has just, I cannot believe how quickly it has changed. I currently work at a bank. I do a lot of database stuff for the bank and that kind of stuff, and nothing moves fast in the financial industry. It's just mind-blowing how quickly this is happening. This screen shot that's up there, MasterCard has a division now that does nothing but helps countries move to a cashless system. It's one of their biggest divisions. They're making money heads over tail. If you can see that slide, well, you can't see it very clearly. Up in the top left-hand corner, it says the world beyond cash. And the red line there says 1.5%. The burden of cash usage on society is substantial, as much as 1.5% of GDP. They're really pushing all countries to go cashless. And I don't know, if you guys are into stock market, if you're into financial stuff, you may have read pieces on this, but it is mind-blowing how quickly it's changed, like I said, in the last 3 years. This is the top 10 cashless countries as of October this year. We're going to spend a little bit of time on here because this is so vitally important. In 3 years, South Korea wasn't in the top 33 of countries going cashless. They are now at 70% cashless operation. So the what this is showing is like Germany 3 years ago was at 33%. It's now at 76%. The United States 3 years ago was at 45%. We're up to 80% cashless. But if you go down and look at the bottom, France has gone from 59% to 92% cashless transactions. In the Netherlands, you can't pay rent, you can't pay utility bills, you can't pay major bills with cash. They don't accept it. You have to use a form of electronic payment. Other countries that are on the cashless bandwagon, and if you can see that, I know the text is going to be kind of small. These are some, these aren't like, you know, first-rate countries. Argentina, China, Ecuador, the EU, Hong Kong, India, Ireland, Israel, Kenya, Italy, Mexico, Norway, the Philippines, Saudi Arabia, Spain, Tanzania, and Uruguay. These countries are all pushing to go cashless. And two of them on that list stand out as amazing, and that's Kenya and Tanzania. Now, you guys have all heard, oh, you know, they're going to push the cashless system because, you know, it's safer, people don't get robbed, these kind of things. But here's one of the main reasons that MasterCard, that division of MasterCard, is pushing to go cashless. It's to help give people banking services. In Kenya, people have cell phones more than they have bank accounts. So MasterCard went down there and helped Vodacom start this program called M-Pesa, and Pesa means cash in Swahili. In 3 years, Kenya has set up 17 million cashless accounts for Kenyans. Tanzania has set up 5 million in less than 3 years. To do that is just mind-blowing. So you see developed countries, they have, you know, up to the 90% cashless transactions. But if you think about Kenya and Tanzania, and now MasterCard is moving to probably 30 more countries right now to set these systems up. And it's just mind-blowing how quickly it's happened in the last 3 years. And I want you to remember, 3 years ago was 2013. You're going to see that date come up in several other contexts tonight. There's another company in America called Chain. And how many of you have heard of Bitcoin? Nobody's heard of Bitcoin? Greg has heard of Bitcoin. Okay, I've got a gift for you after the service. Bitcoin is based on a technology called blockchain databases. And because of the anonymous part of it, they can't use it in banking because of the banking laws in this country and with our allies. So this Chain company has come up with a system like Bitcoin that digitizes all US dollars. Now you might be saying, big deal, Mike, what's that matter to me? Well, that was one of the big hurdles for us to completely go cashless. If you have a brokerage account, there's a settlement, there's a trade settlement that takes a couple of days before you actually get your money. If you sell a stock, if you have a online banking account, and you take that money and you move it, you want to move some money from an online account to your checking account, it takes a couple of days. It's not instantaneous. We assume that it's instantaneous. It's not. Well, this company, again, in 2013, came up with the technology in order to digitize the US dollar. And in April of this year, they had the 100 largest financial companies come to a meeting and show their executives exactly how the system works. And it was so impressive that I believe it was IBM, I'm not sure. Yep, IBM in 2016 did a study that said that the technology is moving so much faster that they can implement this almost immediately. Well, nothing works that fast in the financial world. So what is it right now that's moving this technology so quickly to set up this cashless system? So just keep that in mind. If you hear of chain, you hear of blockchain technology, you hear of this M-Pesa, you're reading the news, you're listening to the news, have your ears perk up, because it's going to lay the foundation for some point for the Antichrist to come in and use that to control buying and selling. The second prophetic sign that I wanted to touch, I mean, we all hear about the earthquakes, the famines, you know, those kinds of things. But one of the prophetic signs that's not talked a lot about is persecution. Worldwide persecution of Christians is increasing again from 2013, that date for some reason. 2013 seemed to be a big shift in a lot of ways. Each month, 322 Christians are killed for their faith. 214 churches every month are destroyed. And 772 forms of violence are committed against Christians every month. I want you to go, if you're going to open your Bibles, to Luke 21 and look at verse 10 to 17. The parallel passage that most people are familiar with is Matthew 24. Jesus says the same information, a little bit different order, but says basically the same. So starting in verse 10, he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be great earthquakes, famines, pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors, all on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me, but make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You'll be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me." Now that's a really cheerful scripture, isn't it? That's one of those scriptures you want on a magnet on your refrigerator, right? And the page of that calendar, you open that up, and that's the text that jumps out. And, wow. But why did Jesus say all that information? Why did he point that out to the disciples and to us in this day and age, that these things are going to happen? He said it. He's telling us before it even happens so we can be prepared for it. Matthew 24:9 says that we will be hated by all nations. This next list troubles me, because these countries are not ones that you would think, you know, okay, they're not Iran, they're not, you know, a Muslim terrorist that's going to cut our heads off. You've seen those images of ISIS cutting all the guys' heads off. Okay, we understand that. But these countries would be more friendly to a Christian, I would think. Australia, Belgium, Canada, Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, Greece, Hungary, Italy, Ireland, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Poland, Portugal, Russia, Spain, Switzerland, Sweden, the United Kingdom, and many others. They're all persecuting Christians in these countries. So when you look at that list, you go, well, that's kind of bizarre. Why would they be persecuting Christians? Well, what about the U.S.? This may come as a startling surprise to many of you, but we have a major persecution problem right here. Persecution in the U.S. doubled. Here comes that date again, from 2013 to 2014, of recorded cases of persecution against Christians. We're going to go through a few examples because I want everyone to understand how this stuff works. It may not hit you yet, but it may hit you very, very soon. One of the ladies at church was telling me that she was a special needs aide for high school. And she was bringing a child with MS, or a teenager with MS, into a classroom. And there was a gay student standing, telling the teenagers, what it was like to be a homosexual. And she said her mouth fell open, and she couldn't believe this. And she didn't know what to do. She didn't know what to say. So as the kids are coming out, all she thought she could say is, "Hey, don't believe everything you heard." You guys have all heard the First Amendment. We talk about it, we hear about it, that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. here's the reality, and I'm talking about in America. This is what's occurring to American Christians right now. They are charged with hate crimes. They have been arrested and put in jail for nothing more than their Christian beliefs. They have lost their job, they've been evicted, they've been suspended and expelled from schools and colleges. They have been ordered not to pray, not to sing Christian songs, told they can't listen to religious messages, and they've been forced to pay huge fines for just being a Christian. Again, may not have hit you yet, but you need to understand that just like Jesus said that the famines, the earthquakes will increase in intensity like birth pangs, persecution is going to go the same way. It's a disconnect for us. Most of us don't comprehend how that can happen in our country. We've been raised with, you know, home of the free, land of the brave, and our Constitution protects us. We have a disconnect. But you got to understand, the apostles were persecuted. They were all killed, with the exception of John. They were all martyred for their faith. The early church faced humongous persecution until Constantine became the emperor. Then it kind of went into a nice, easy stage. Christians throughout history have been persecuted. We need to make sure that we understand that we're not immune, or somehow because we're Americans, we're immune to persecution. This is with a picture of the Supreme Court. And again, like I said, persecution doubled from 2013 to 2014. The reason the Supreme Court picture is there is something happened with the Supreme Court in 2013. Anybody remember what that was? Yes, it is a history lesson. There is a test. Come on. No. The Supreme Court didn't overturn Proposition 8, but what they said was is that they didn't have the jurisdiction to do anything with it, and they sent it back to the lower court. Remember Proposition 8 in 2008? And we voted on it twice, and then it was still overturned. Well, that's when some really strange things started happening. For those of you that are techie, if you use Firefox, Mozilla is the parent company that made that. This man, Brandon Eich, was the co-founder of Mozilla. He was also the inventor of JavaScript, which runs behind just about every computer program today. He was a Christian. He donated his crime. I'm getting ahead of myself. He was forced to resign in 2014, and his crime was he donated $1,000 in 2008 to the Proposition 8 campaign. Somehow, 6 years later, it came out that he had donated $1,000, and they forced him to resign. I doubt any of you read Slate.com. I hope you don't. It's an extremely liberal, very, very far left website. This was a headline, and I hope you can see it, that they published the day after all the tech companies called for Eich to get fired from being the with Mozilla. The headline read, "Purge the bigots. Brandon Eich is just the beginning. Let's oust everybody who donated to the campaign against gay marriage." And again, this was in 2014. Proposition 8 was in 2008. This is fascinating to me because if you look at that headline, imagine if you had switched that around and said, let's oust everybody who donated for Proposition 8. If we just switched that around, I don't think the ultra liberals would appreciate it if we oust them. In this article on Slate, they had a link to LA Times database, and LA Times, I don't know how they got all this information, but they got all the information on everybody that donated to the Prop 8 contest, if you were for or you were against it. And this is going to be a tough screen to see, but this was actually the database, and you can go into it and search by people's names. You can search by their employer. You can search by the amount. And when you pull up the data, and I apologize, I know how small that is, it actually lists your zip code. Some of it's for your employer, and some of it is for your house. So all that information is floating around out there for anybody to look up. So I'm not trying to suggest don't donate money to, you know, causes that you are concerned about, but be forewarned that there is a chance of persecution because of that type of technology. I know you guys can't see this, but it was wild. This was at 2015 when the Supreme Court upheld gay marriage. And that shield that you see, that red shield, it said, "Our Constitution is our shield against Bible-based discrimination toward our gay friends and neighbors." Again, concern. You may take a stand because the Bible says this is right, this is wrong. And this is the other side's idea, that the Bible-based discrimination, that's how they see us. Isaiah 5:20, and this is the New Living Translation, says, "What sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil, that dark is light and light is dark." I know you're all familiar with that passage, because it's really scary, and it's going to get, and I'm not trying to be melodramatic, it's going to get worse. It has to get worse. If we are in the end times, by definition, it has to continue to get worse. These things that are happening to Christians in America are just not from the LGBTQ community. There's an organization called Freedom From Religion Foundation that is filing numerous law cases or lawsuits against Christians. The ACLU, of course, the courts, schools, colleges, universities, employers, local, state, and federal government, the EEOC. Who knows what the EEOC is? Anybody? Besides my wife? Sue knows.
Equal Employment Opportunity Commission.
There you go. That's the federal agency that if you're discriminated against at work, or your employer has done something illegal, you can go to the EEOC and they take up your case, they investigate it, and then they can force the employer to pay penalties, they can get your job back, that type of stuff. Well, the EEOC got a case from a teacher, a high school teacher, who was in his class, and as the students came in, he said, "Oh, the first will be last and the last will be first." And he kept saying this a couple of days. And one of the kids said, where's that from? And the teacher said, "Oh, it's from the Bible." And he goes, "Oh, I don't have a Bible." And the teacher said, "Would you like a Bible?" And the kid said, "Sure." So he gives him his Bible. He gets fired from the school district for handing the student a Bible. So the teacher goes to the EEOC and files a charge. The EEOC is supposed to do an investigation, but they dismissed the case because it involved a Bible. So then he had to go to the Liberty Institute and sue the EEOC for them to do the investigation for him to get his job back. This one is just, to me, is so bizarre. That little picture, that little stained glass of the lilies. There's a couple that were apartment managers, and in their dining room, which worked as their office, they had a little hanging stained glass in their window, and all it said was, "Consider the lilies," and then it said Matthew 6:28. That's all it said. Their supervisor came in, saw it, said, "That's offensive. You have to take it down." He then fired them, and then he evicted them from their apartment, just for that little piece of stained glass. The University of Texas in Arlington, two staff members, happened to be women, were praying for another staff member who was sick. It's after work, they are on work grounds, and all they're doing is praying. They got fired for it. The city of Balch Springs has an assisted living center. They told the seniors there that they could not pray, they could not listen to religious programming on the radio, and they couldn't sing gospel songs. So the seniors decided, "We're going to sue." So they sued the city the assisted living home told them, well, if you win the lawsuit, you're not going to get any more food. You're not going to get any meals. And this is a direct quote. The reason is, and this is a direct quote from the city, because praying over government-funded meals violates the separation of church and state. So guys, those are a few examples, and I've got literally hundreds more. But what I want you to see is things that we take for granted can easily go away like that, and then it's your job. You have to go find an attorney. You have to sue to have your constitutional right to practice your religion how you choose to practice it. Here's my favorite one for you. Who's heard of the Satanic Temple? I'm sorry. Anybody else? Only one person. Have you heard of them, Greg? No? Okay. Again, 2013. Interesting year. On the Oklahoma State Capitol grounds, they have a monument to the Ten Commandments. It was on private property. The state deeded away a little piece of property so that they could put this monument up. Well, the Satanic Temple said, oh, well, we want to put up our statue next to it. This is a picture of the statue. And I forget what the name of the idol is. Balmora, something like that. But where you probably can't see is what looks like the legs of the chair are actually two little children. There's a girl on the left and a boy on the right. And the girl on the left has her hands up like when we worship the Lord. And the little boy, the idol, is putting his hand down. It appears to me that the hand's going down a little too low. But that was the idol that they wanted to put up on the grounds of the Oklahoma State Supreme or State Capitol grounds. Now, what's amazing is the governor said, nope, we're not going to take it down. So Satanic Temple sued the state, and the state had to remove the Ten Commandments. So guess what's happening now? Now they're going to Arkansas. Arkansas passed a law last year that said that, same kind of setup, they can do, if it's privately funded, they can put up a Ten Commandment monument. Well, guess where the Satanic Temple people want to put their monument? If the state says no, then they sue them and get them to remove the Ten Commandments. Who's heard of Coach Joe Kennedy? Anybody? This man is up in Bremerton, Washington. He was in the news the last couple of years. He's a Christian. He's an assistant football coach for the high school. He would go out after the game by himself, take a knee, and pray after every game. He'd been doing it for 8 years. Nobody had a problem with it. Students from, guys from both teams would come out with him. Some of the kids said they were atheists, they were agnostics, but they saw it as a team building thing, and they went out and joined him after every game. Well, somebody complained that he was praying, and guess who showed up? Satanic Temple. They said, well, we want to go out and pray on the 50-yard line too. So they showed up, and I don't know how good you can see that picture. The blonde lady is the leader of the Seattle unit, and there's a gal next to her that have two big horns coming out of her head. So they went up in their black robes and everything, and all they do is go out, they say, oh, well, we get to pray too. Here's the kicker. They don't even believe in Satan. They're atheists. What they're doing is they know how irritated everybody will be when they see this, you know, people dressed up in black robes. So now they're going and they want to open, do the invocations at city council meetings. And they're doing it across the country where they go and say, well, we want to do the invocation. And they've done it up in Alaska. They've done it a couple of places here in the United States, continental United States. And they show up and do a satanic invocation, even though they don't, quote, believe in Satan. So they're currently trying to get Boston to let them do it. Florida City, Florida, Scottsdale is next on their list. Phoenix The only way Phoenix could deal with it is they changed their whole setup on who can come in and do a prayer. So what these guys are doing, they're not interested in really wanting to pray. What they're interested in is trying to shut down any praying in the name of Jesus. And this one is going to probably shock you. This is their newest undertaking. They're starting satanic kids clubs in elementary schools. This is their actual artwork for the project. Again, what they're trying to do is shock the schools and the parents. Satan has a candy cane in his hand. One of his eyes is like a hypnotic signal, trying to hypnotize the children, and that's their program header for the Satanic Kids Club. Now, I want you to understand, and I'm not trying to make them sound good, okay, but they're very smart. They're smarter than the Christians, because the Christians get up and, oh, you can't do this, oh, you can't do this, and they don't understand these guys are running circles around them. This is what their leadership says. Once religion invades schools, as the Good News Clubs have — the Good News Clubs are a child evangelism club that is set up in schools, and that's what they're trying to shut down. The Satanic Temple will fight to ensure the plurality and true religious liberty are respected. Twisted evangelical teachings of the Good News Clubs robs children of the innocence and enjoyment of childhood, replacing them with a negative self-image, preoccupation with sin, fear of hell, and an aversion to critical thinking. So they are setting the first four Satan Club up in these cities: Tacoma, Portland, Sandy Springs, Georgia, and right here in the LAUSD in Panorama City is going to be the first club in California. So here's what happens. Here's how it plays out. They go in, they're only hitting the schools that have these Good News Clubs, and they go in and say, well, we wanted to set up the Satanic Club. Well, the school freaks out, the parents freak out. So what they do is, the school says, we're not having any clubs. So they've effectively won shutting down the Good News Club, because they really don't want to set up a Satanic Club. They just don't want the Good News Club operating in the schools. And I found this quote from one of their leaders. It said, they're so worried that we're going to get to do ours that they stop everyone from doing it. And that's their end plan. That's their game plan. They shut down the Good News, and they win. So who are we fighting against? Atheists, the homosexual community, pagans, liberals, the ACLU, Satanists. You guys all know this next passage, but you really need to understand that 2013 was a turning point again. This is just ramping up so quickly. So who are we actually fighting? Ephesians 6:12, you guys all know it. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That passage took on a whole new meaning for me after I saw what the Satanic Temple group was doing. And they are busting at the seams to add more chapters. They're getting requests, so many requests for additional chapters of that organization, that they can't meet the demand, because people are thinking, oh, wait, this is a great way to mess with the Christians. What you need to remember about persecution — we're going to go through verses. You guys have all heard these, read these, but to me, they're really critical right now, because there's this massive change. There's a paradigm shift in intensity of what's going on in America with persecution against Christians. So again, if you want the verses, if you can't read them up there, come up and grab them from me afterwards. John 15:20 says, remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Matthew 5:10 says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You all know Romans 8:35, who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Well, we know that passage. We've heard it 100 times. But when you're going through the ringer, it's really hard to take that and put it inside. So I strongly encourage you guys, maybe in your personal devotions, just look up all the passages about persecution, make up a little cheat sheet, probably not the best term, and stick it in your Bible so when it hits you, you can go directly to this and read it. You don't want to be trying to find this information when you're going through the ringer. Paul says in Romans 12, 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. 2 Corinthians, Paul says, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Completely goes against the way our brains work, but that's what the Bible says. In James 1, the first chapter of James, one of my favorite personal verses, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. It's one of my personal favorite verses because if you've gone through the ringer, if you've had, you know, major medical issues, stresses and strains, that word of whenever you face, it means that you've got pressure coming from the front, the back, both sides, the top and the bottom. It's where we kind of get the concept of stress. And it's just crushing you from every direction. Well, imagine if you lost your job because you gave a kid a Bible. Imagine if you were told you can't pray and you can't listen to religious broadcasting and you can't sing Christian songs. That's going to be pretty horrific of somebody telling you, oh, you can't do that. I want to interject a few more examples of things that are going on right here. There are over 1,200 recorded cases just in the United States per year of Christians being persecuted. And it's stuff that would just blow your mind. And there are different groups within the United States that document all this information, have the court cases. So if you are interested in it, I'm happy to send you a link for it. Not to bum you out, but so that you see what's really going on. Because sometimes our lives are so compartmentalized, we don't even know this stuff is happening. In John 16, I mentioned this earlier, this is the actual passage. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. There is real hope. I know we just had the election, but it's not in a candidate. It's not in a political party. A lot of the persecution, some of you might be thinking, oh, well, the election, you know, oh, well, this will all stop. A lot of this stuff is at the court level, is at local agency level, is at the city level. So changes of the federal government is not going to have anything to do with this. So please be very cautious in your jobs. One guy, he was just talking to a coworker about his personal feelings about homosexuality and why he didn't think gay marriage was right. Two guys shooting the breeze at work. He got suspended from work and had to take, I forgot what the term was, diversity training, because what he said was taken as hate speech. They said, if you don't finish the diversity training, you'll be fired. So what's that going to do to him in the future? Is he going to go out there and talk more about how he feels, or is he going to keep his mouth shut? This is the last verse I want to close with, is Luke 21:28. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. These two little things, the cashless society and persecution, are just two more pointers that says we're getting closer and closer. And with how I've told you from 2013 to 2016, how much of a radical change has happened, guys, look up. Because your redemption draws nigh. And let's close our eyes, and we'll say a prayer, and Greg will lead us in the last song. Father, I just ask a blessing for these folks that took their time out of their week to come down here. And I ask you to encourage them, lift them up. Don't let them get bummed out, but let them know that as a Christian, we may suffer persecution. And We need to be strong. We need to stand strong. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.